You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District.
Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Monday edition. The dominant news story today is really two of them. One is the virus in China, which I'll give you an update on, and it is a little bit more deadly than we thought. There have been over 900 people died of it, but anywhere from 20 to 40,000 people have been infected, so it's not as dangerous as we thought, but it is a killer, and I'll give you some more details. The other is the primaries, or primary, in New Hampshire. And it looks like the Reds are going to sweep that one. They swept the one in Iowa with Mayor Pete, or Pete Buttigieg, and Bernie Sanders, really a dead heat, a tie. So they got over 50% of the vote. And then if you add Warren, you're up right under, slightly under 70%. So the Reds, those are the three candidates I consider the Reds. They're actually more than that, but many of them have dropped out. They're the radical extremists, Democrat socialists. Your Democratic Party of your grandparents or parents no longer exists. It has been largely taken over during the Obama years by radicals. They like to call themselves community organizers. Before that, they were called communist organizers, and they really followed Saul Alinsky. A great admirer of Saul Alinsky was not only Barack Obama, but Hillary Clinton. These are not liberal Democrats. They're not even moderate Democrats. They're far leftist. And I think they're going to be beat bad come next November, because the American people are not going to go for socialism because they value their standard of living. They're not going to stand for the so-called Green New Deal, which would double or triple your electrical and gasoline prices, just for starters. And there's a lot more. I'm going to wait till they flush that out. We'll see if they really want to run on their Green New Deal. Well, the radicals do want to run on it. That's really another tax on you and me, and to try to control you. Now, one thing you got to be very, very careful of. It's easy to fall in this trap and believe it. You're going to be seeing a lot of polls from various polling organizations. I don't put much credence in them. I do look at several, let us say, I have more respect for and trust in, for example, Rasmussen of Likely Voters. But that's built over many years, just seeing what the results are, because they can and are manipulated. You know, I like to say the best polls are those that politicians pay for that you never see. They want to make sure they're getting a representative sample and the results are reflective of the population they're trying to estimate where they're going to go. But you never see them, or seldom ever see them, because that's intelligence, and they want to make sure if they're having troubles in a certain area that they address them. Likewise, if they look like they're doing very, very well, you don't want to waste money and resources in a specific neighborhood. So I give you a warning. You can't trust the polls. And one of the big reasons is news today is largely propaganda, and the polls are a form of propaganda to manipulate your opinion. They're trying to establish public opinion by giving you a poll. It's really not news, but they like to make it out as news, and you're going to see a lot of it right before the primary. And that's why you're hearing it today. Someone is surging, someone is falling down, might be the coming fifth. That's Joe Biden. I've said a long time ago, Joe Biden is done. Eventually, someone's going to have to tell him to go back home. He's never done well in presidential politics. I'm not surprised. I don't think Joe Biden is a factor, but you have a problem in the Democratic Party, and that is the establishment, the people with the money, the people that have high positions in the party, connections to the party. They don't like and don't want Bernie Sanders. He's just a little bit too far to the left. But I think the left has already done in the Democratic Party, but the Democratic Party doesn't know it. Because when you come out for example, Medicare for All and the Green New Deal and citizenship for all the illegal aliens that are here, all of those, in my mind, are losing positions. And all your opposition has to do is point them out. And I think Donald Trump is perfectly capable of doing that, as are other Republican candidates. Now, let me say something for new listeners. I'm not a Democrat or Republican. I don't care who wins. I care, but not in the way you think, because I believe both parties are big government parties. And until the American people decide to break their very bad habit of either voting Democrat or Republican, you're going to get the status quo from here on out. Nothing is going to change fundamentally. We're certainly not going to have a transformation if you believe Bernie Sanders. So I wanted to give you a general warning, is don't pay much attention. You can listen to them, see what they say. They're trying to persuade you to support either one candidate or another, or one program than another. And both parties do it. It's not unique to the Democrat or Republican Party, just like opposition research is not unique to either party. They both do it. And today, we learn that I think the White House is on the verge of submitting their budget. I can't wait. I was scratching my head. Why bother? And what do I mean by that? The House and the Senate, remember, the House is controlled by who? The Democratic Party. They're going to control whatever the government spending is. You know, last program I made a big point that we shouldn't be surprised that the economy is only growing at between 2 and 2.5% as opposed to above the long range, you know, decades, 40, 50 years, depending when you start and finish. The U.S. economy, and I'm talking the real gross domestic product, GDP, the total of all finished goods and services. Historically, it's been running about 3 to 3.5%, but not in the last 20 years. And the reason, what's happened in the last 20 years? Government spending, both under Republicans and Democrats and under Trump, is totally, completely out of control. The only way the federal government today can pay its bills is to borrow, borrow, borrow. It's like an individual has a job, a good paying job, but then he wants to dramatically increase the standard of living, so he uses his credit card. That's well and good, but when he has 10 of them and can only pay the minimum balance, he's in trouble. And that the United States is in big trouble. Our total national debt today is $23,000 billion. That's $23 trillion. That's a big, big, big number. And a lot of that has all happened under Bush, Obama, and Trump. More debt than ever. And eventually it catches up to you. As a matter of fact, I was preparing the show, and what's interesting is a lot of the debt was, note I'm underlying that, there's still some, who holds it that are not U.S. citizens or U.S. financial institutions. For example, Japan, the government of Japan, Communist China does, but they have cut back drastically. And one of the reasons is simply the yield is too little, or the interest rate that they will pay. So the only way they're going to be able to attract investors in Treasury securities, eventually this happens, they're going to have to increase dramatically the interest rate charge for U.S. Treasury bonds, notes, and bills. That's how we're paying our bills. That's how we're paying for Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. We're borrowing the money. Now, that's somewhat simplifying it because you can't specifically point to whatever money we raise. Money is fungible, so it can go to anywhere. And that's not what I'm saying, that the debt is paying for Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. But when you routinely run up year in, year out, I mean every year running deficits, I'm talking budgetary deficits, where you spend 700, 800, 900 billion more than you take in, well, the reason we can spend that is we borrow the money. And borrowed money eventually has to be paid off. And we do that. We just issue more debt. Is either party talking about this? No, they're not. They are not. The Democrats are on a tear. They hate Trump. Well, good for you. You hate Trump. But what they're proposing is no better. Socialism, wherever it's been tried, has been a disaster. It leads to a very authoritarian or even totalitarian regime. It's usually run by people that want to control your lives. I think you can see more and more in the United States, you have an elite that is out of touch with the American people. They don't know what their real concerns are. And one of the concerns is the fact that the federal government is spending too much money. Are they addressing it? No. They could be, but they're not. They're not willing to. So what each party does, one will favor, for example, the Democrats would favor income security type programs, entitlement programs. I call them welfare programs. And the Republicans favor warfare programs. Now, there are some programs that both parties favor. I understand that. So both parties are spending too much money, way beyond the means of the American people. As a matter of fact, what they're doing is burdening future generations with huge amounts of debt that has to be paid off. There's no free lunch here. I always get a kick out of Bernie Sanders and the Reds. You know, vote. They have what I call a bad case of Santa Claus socialism. Vote for me and I'll give you some free stuff. Well, there's no such free stuff. Somebody has to pay for it. In the end, who pays for it is the American people pay for it. And they pay a lot more because you have inefficiencies when the government does it. You have waste. You have abuse. So I'm pointing out that this is an important election. Now, I always hear that. Well, this is a very important election. You can't throw away your vote. Well, excuse me. I'm not seeing any changes, fundamental changes. And I'll make a bet if the Republicans get the White House, the Senate, and the House of Representatives, they'll go on a spending binge. And they will. Conversely, if the Democrats do it, they will do the same thing, but probably even worse. So you don't have a political party today that's fundamentally aligned with the American people. If anything, they're doing the opposite of what the American people truly want. The American people understand that you, like an individual or family or business, school, church, charity, what you spend every year, what you budget every year, has to be fairly close to what you expect in terms of revenues. Now, when you're dealing with governments, those are called tax revenues. And we've gotten in this bad habit for so long, the numbers are just scary. This does not end well. This does end in a day of reckoning. But instead, what are we talking about this? Are we even remotely talking about it? No, we're talking about polls. Frankly, the only poll that counts is Election Day. And even there, you have to be careful because, oh yes, corruption is alive and well across this great land. I shut them down. I either don't listen to the news or to the extent that I hear it on the radio, for example, because I'm usually listening to talk radio. You got to be aware. They're trying to change your opinion to agree with what the poll says, or disagree. Like I said, they're trying to manipulate you, and they're trying to make the poll the news. Most times, the poll is seldom, if ever, the news. Instead, it's used to influence, persuade, manipulate, you pick the word. They're trying to, as subtly as they can, have you typically vote for their candidate or vote for someone else, depending on what their agenda is. So this is a sort of a cautionary general warning. Beware, because it's only going to get worse. It is only going to get worse. And what I do, I think the best thing to do is compare them with other polls. And Real Clear Politics does that. So you can see what a whole bunch of polls are doing. But always keep in mind, that doesn't mean that you can rely on them, because they're biases, and eventually you're going to be burned where you're told one thing and another happens. That's just par for the course. And remember Hillary Clinton in 2016, everybody thought, I didn't think it, but most Democrats and many, many Republicans thought that Hillary Clinton was a shoo-in. You could take it to the bank. Well, the polls were off, not by a lot, but enough that they weren't reliable. And keep reminding yourself, the best polls you're not going to see. Now, occasionally one might leak out. So if a candidate does polling and he sees that he isn't, one, he's way behind, and two, there's one or two groups that he's really not making any inroads on, what they're going to do is try to tailor a message, or the candidate is going to tailor a message to hopefully change your opinion about him. So it's more than listening to the polls. What they're trying to do is make you change your actions. And it's not just your opinion, it's your actions. It ultimately comes down, whether it's in the primary or caucus or in the general election, they want you to vote a certain way. And that's what's going on. And more sophisticated people understand that. But a lot of times you have people that don't. Polls are not your friend. However, they can be used to make you behave at the polls in a way that's not in your interest. So the Democratic Party has a problem. It's afraid that Bernie Sanders, by hook or by crook, might legitimately win the nomination. Now, I think that's a long way away. But it looks like Bernie had a win in Iowa, is going to have a win in New Hampshire. The question is, what about future
primaries?
I think Bernie Sanders has an uphill battle. It's not that he doesn't have a support. He certainly does. But will it be enough? And the establishment of the Democratic Party have a problem. Who are they going to nominate? I am for sure they don't want Warren, they don't want Bernie Sanders, and they don't really want Mayor Pete. So in my mind, they're out of here. But that only leaves who? Very few people. Joe Biden, like I said, I don't think he's going anywhere. Who else? Gorbachev, Amy. And she's supposedly surging. Who knows? What is she going from, 7 to 8%? What I think is going to happen is the Reds are going to capture not a clear majority, but enough delegates that this time, in their mind, it's their turn. So they're not going to agree to anything. And the only question is, can they be stopped? Or can they get the, if they can't be stopped, Bernie gets the nomination to the Democratic Party. That is not going to sit well with Democrats, especially old-time Democrats, elderly Democrats. And that would mean that Donald Trump wins in a landslide come next November. Now, speaking of Donald Trump was in the White House today. That's where he usually spends his time. And he was talking to the governors. What governors? No, not the Federal Reserve governors. What I'm talking about are the governors of our states. Apparently, he invited them all. Not all of them attended. The governor and their spouses to a dinner. And today, I believe a luncheon. And the wives were hosted by the First Lady. Donald Trump had a few choice words for the governors and asked questions. Questions were asked of him. It's not very long, so I am going to play it. I do have some time. And I put a lot of information. For those that are new to the show, I give you a lot, not all, but a lot of my show prep. In this one, I gave you a poll to look at the internals, some of the detailed questions. So there's a lot of information. But again, who's going to look at it? Only people that are truly interested in this. And it's not my audience. I'm interested in it, but I always think, so what? Keep in mind, many times they're trying to get you to think one way. Now, here's President Trump in the White House today. This is the Business Summit.
Setting records, and we'd like to think that the federal government has been helping you a lot. But it is wonderful being with you, and we had a great evening last night. And the talent of those musicians, they could be anywhere in the world. Many of them could work in the great opera houses, but they love the military. When you heard the violins and the talent, great talent. I don't know if anybody has an ear for music. Believe it or not, a long time ago, I was told I have a great ear for music by somebody. Took a test. They said, he has a wonderful aptitude for music. I said, I do. But when you listen to that, it's really incredible, the talent. And the great people, they want to be in the military. They don't want to be anywhere else. So it's really, really something. As I said in my State of the Union last week, we're in the midst of a great American comeback. With the help of many of the people in this room, and you've done really a fantastic job. I think I can say to just about everybody, I'll say just about, just in case someday somebody's going to run or do something that I won't like, and I can have a little bit of an out when I say just about. I said, oh, he was included in the just about. But we're creating the most prosperous economy and the most inclusive society ever to exist, actually. Since my election, America's gained 7 million new jobs. We added 225,000 jobs in January alone, crushing expectations. The unemployment rate reached the lowest level in 50 years. And a statistic that's incredible to me is the average unemployment that we've had during this three-year period is the lowest in the history of our country. Compared it to any other administration, the lowest in the history of our country. The unemployment rate for African-American, Hispanic-American, and Asian-Americans have reached the lowest level ever recorded. Low-income workers have seen a 16% pay increase since my election, something that's so great to see. When I campaigned, they hadn't had rate increases, pay increases for 20 years, 21 years. They were working three jobs and two jobs and making less money than they made 20 years ago. Median household income, as you all know very well, is the highest ever recorded by far. Since 2016, 28 states have reached or matched their lowest unemployment rate on record. So we have 28, and I think soon we're going to have just about everybody. And at the end of last year, a record 39 states had unemployment below 4%. Again, another record. Just as I promised during my campaign, we're fighting every day to expand opportunity for African-American communities all across our country. African-American youth, we have such great news on African-American youth. Unemployment has reached its lowest level ever recorded. It's a great statistic. African-American poverty rates have plummeted to their lowest rate ever in history. And wages for African-American workers have increased $2,400 a year. That's also a record. At the center of our economic agenda are opportunity zones. I hope you're embracing them. I think many of you are. My administration has worked with the governors in this room to create nearly 9,000 opportunity zones in our most vulnerable communities. Jobs and money are pouring into these areas that have never seen investment. I mean, they haven't seen them in decades and decades and decades. And hundreds of millions of dollars are pouring into certain communities, individual communities, hundreds of millions of dollars. And there's never been anything like it. Opportunity zones. Tim Scott did a great job on that, Senator Tim Scott. I urge all governors to create a state-level version of our White House Opportunity and Revitalization Council to coordinate the efforts of state government to provide maximum support for the opportunity zones, and we're there to help you. If you have a problem, call me, literally call me, and we'll work it out. But the opportunity zones, and that's Democrat or Republican, by the way, opportunities have been fantastic. We must not stop until we have delivered equal and abundant opportunity for every community in our land, and that's what's happening. To give former prisoners a second chance, this has worked better than any program ever. I was proud to sign the landmark.
I got to close the show out. They asked him a few questions specifically on trade, and Trump indicated that the real challenge is the European Union, and that he'll address after he wraps up the Chinese negotiations, because they really sock it to us in terms of barriers to trade and high tariffs. Now, one other thing is the virus. I gave a major segment. I wanted to give you an update. There have been over 910 deaths. It's still going up. They're dying. But there are a lot more cases. It spread all over China, and they're restricting the travel on trains, buses. But it should burn out in the next 30 days as it gets hotter, and we'll get hopefully more reliable information. They've built several hospitals to take care of them. It seems that only the very, very sick go to the hospitals. You got to remember, many people that have it don't have any symptoms, and if they do have symptoms, it usually takes 2 to 14 days before the symptoms show up. It's usually a fever or cough. It's only when it develops into pneumonia that it's deadly. So it's a matter of taking care of yourself, getting sleep, getting liquids. It's like having a very bad cold. The danger is if it turns into pneumonia. We're learning more about the virus. It is not a pandemic. As a matter of fact, influenza in the United States kills a lot more people, thousands of more people than this virus. I think there may be a dozen cases so far in the United States. So I wouldn't panic, and the government, our government, has shut off foreigners coming in that have been into China. And I wouldn't visit China. I would wait till the summer if you're inclined to, that's where you want a vacation. Same thing with business. So the world's governments are on top of it. They don't want this to spread. It will have some impact on our GDP because China is a major trading partner of the United States, but I don't think it's major. It's primarily the Chinese that have been dying and have the most cases. But remember, they have a population of over 1,500 million people. And what we're talking about, even if they're underestimating it, you know, at most maybe 50,000 cases and maybe 1,000 deaths. We'll see. The numbers were going down. They had a slight spike up. So I'm not worried about this virus. As long as our health, our government officials that are responsible for stopping any spread like this are on the case, and they are. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com. and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.